in our region. So this is also a very, very critical part of our mandate that we try to execute with diligence in supporting our minister, in supporting our board, and in supporting the various activities that we do on a day-to-day basis. Next slide, please. This is the organizational structure. The chairman spoke of, about the board. We report directly to the board of directors, most of whom are present with us here, and some of them are on the line, led by the chairperson. And there's some of the executives of the business that have been in office in the current financial year or in the year under review. Next slide. In terms of our operating environment, chairperson, we have in the country, we have 53 land border posts between South Africa and the neighboring countries. 19 of those are designated as commercial border posts. We are happy that in April next year, there will be 20 of them, with Kosi Bay having been declared a commercial border. It will start allowing commercial traffic between KwaZulu-Natal and Mozambique and some of the areas to the north. So we predict that there might be a shift in terms of the movements of traffic from KwaZulu-Natal to the, towards the utilization of this border in the next few months to a year. So as from the 1st of April, this border will now be declared as a commercial border. We have, of course, started engaging very critical role players in this space. We have visited the municipality. We have also been in discussions with SANRAL to ensure that the infrastructure is improved to accommodate this predicted increase in traffic volumes into that space, and also making sure that we discuss with other stakeholders at the border, SARS and others, so that there is sufficient capacity to accommodate the developments that are coming into that border post in a short space of time from now. There are four border posts that carry a significant volume of our commercial traffic, Bay Bridge, Lebombo, where we are, Maseru, and Skilpadsheg. These are the four largest borders that carry the biggest volume of our commercial freight. And of course, in terms of passenger freight, it's not in the slide. It is again those, especially the first three, are the ones that carry the significant amount of volume for movement of our passengers across these different borders. These border posts, of course, are located in some of the business corridors linking South Africa to the SADC region, namely the North-South Corridor, the Maputo Corridor N4, the Trans-Kalahari Corridor. And of course, in terms of, given that we play a significant role in terms of facilitation and improving some of the services in our borders, we don't have a direct influence, but we do have an influence through some of the partners that we establish in these border agencies, in these border areas. Therefore, the Department of Home Affairs becomes very critical. We are also happy that the Border Management Authority has now been launched. It is another very, very critical entity that we're working with. SARS has always been a very big player and a very critical stakeholder to the CBRTA with a number of projects that we're doing together. We also work very closely with the South African Police Services, especially the Border Police for law enforcement, the Department of Environment, Forestry and Fisheries, Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development, Port Health and State Security. So those are some of the stakeholders that we facilitate within the borders, and we negotiate with in terms of when we have crisis areas or crisis spots to ensure that there's improvement of some of the services that we deal with. The map in front of you is just basically showing where some of the land borders are and where some of the routes are. I won't spend time in that. We can move to the next slide. In terms of the problem and impact statement, we always say that we are quite significantly aware of the fact that we have an unleveled operating environment in the cross-border industry, resulting from inadequate implementation of cross-border road transport mandate, unharmonized road transport regulations, and bureaucratic processes. Honorable members would recall that as the region, we are at different places, we're at different paces. We do not have the same systems, we do not have the same rules, we do not have the same policies, we do not have the same principles, and it becomes quite challenging. Our environment is grossly unharmonized, and this puts an impediment in terms of our movement of freight across these different regions. And therefore, the ambitions of a better economic environment in the SADC region is challenged if we do not attend to some of these inadequacies in our borders. And therefore, ideally, we say that we've got an impact statement that we're driving towards, that of ensuring a comprehensive, consistent, and viable economic regulation of the cross-border road transport industry that enhances continental integration and trade. And that's the ideal state that we're driving towards. It means that it's important, with the assistance of all the stakeholders from our government to parliament and all the potential stakeholders, that we have an environment in our region that is harmonized, that we work very closely with our neighbors to ensure that all what we dream for is realized. It is not easy because of the inconsistencies in the region, but we believe that if we are all able to pull together with the assistance of yourselves, we will be able to win the battle ahead of us. Next slide, please. In terms of organizational performance, the chairperson did touch on the impact of the COVID-19 on our business in the previous financial year. We did feel this impact because immediately when COVID started, our business was shut completely for some time. Our staff had to move to their different homes, sometimes under challenging circumstances of not having the tools of trade. And also we experienced a decline in terms of our revenue, the permits that we're selling. There was limited movement of freight across the borders. Some of the borders were completely shut down. Some of the borders had limited movement of passengers across the different borders. This, of course, impacted significantly on our performance over the year. And we hope that over the next few years, we'll again be able to reach the higher levels of performance that we had experienced over the past few years. But if you look at some of the outcomes that we had set for ourselves, we had set for ourselves an outcome, for instance, of enhancing the regulatory regime that we spoke about by implementing quality regulation. And this is done through a project that is called OCAS, which is an operator compliance accreditation system, which assists us to move to a risk-based regulation system, where we profile most of the operators that go through our borders and make sure that those that go through in a given priority go through are those that are in full compliance with the law and some of the provisions of our systems. It is also pleasing to announce that we are working very closely with SARS on this project in terms of their own AEO program, and we'll soon be launching a joint pilot together in this space. We had reported on this last year, and we have since made further progress as we had reported the previous year. Some of the components of the system have now been developed fully. Some of them have been tested and pilots have been run. We are still developing the system as it is a national system and a very comprehensive system. We are still developing it further. Secondly, we have looked at improved compliance to cross-border road transport regulation as one of the outcomes, and implemented one of our five-year target. There was the implemented smart law enforcement. Again, we're happy to report to members of the portfolio committee that on top of the normal law enforcement operations that we do, we have also acquired smart law enforcement tools that we're deploying on various corridors. For instance, we've acquired a vehicle that we're working with some of our stakeholders on and making sure that when we enforce in various corridors, they are supporting us.
Recording
the SAPS
in progress.
Has been very critical to this operation. The RTMC has also been very critical to this operation. This vehicle has assisted us not only to identify vehicles that are driving through those corridors without permits, but also those that transit without proper papers, for instance, your E-Native. So there's better integration with the RTMC systems, but also we are able to pick up stolen vehicles, and therefore SAPS is also critical to making arrests in cases like those. And those that have got duplicate number plates have also been picked up along the ways, what we call cloned cars. So this system is expansive in terms of its approach and is able to pick up on a number of law enforcement transgressions that we do enforce with some of our partners. We've also been able the tool also enables us to cross-reference vehicle registrations with various databases, as I've said, and it has been a very much of a success when we piloted it in the various border posts, for instance, the Bait Bridge, Libombo, and we've also piloted it in the Maseru border post as well. It has been a massive success for us as a business. Next slide, please. The next outcome is about ensuring a safe and reliable cross-border road transport operation. And therefore, we have also targeted to implement a cross-border road safety strategy. This is one of our key pillars. We're doing this in support of the Ministerial Road Safety Strategy of the Department of Transport. And we think that it's important that we focus on this because of campaigns like your Cross Easy and also your Cross that monitor the vehicles that come from across the border, so that we are able to support the initiatives of our government with vehicles that come from across our borders. This has also been one of the focus areas that we have been busy with as a business, and we continue to focus on this on an ongoing basis. We have also targeted to achieve harmonized economic regulations, as I've spoken earlier, and to make sure that in 5 years from now, we at least have promote 90% of compliance across the various region with our various cross-border road transport policies. We are, of course, as South Africa, chairing what we call a cross-border road transport regulators forum, which is a forum of all regulators in the SADC region. We have been chairing this for the past 3 years. Our term is coming to an end next year, and through this, we have been able to promote a better environment in the region of ensuring that some of the provisions of our thought process on harmonization are lifted through this forum. And we have developed a work plan whose implementation is now standing at about 70% in the year under review. So it looks at a number of different areas, for instance, coordination of route management groups, as well as your road transport law enforcement areas, and trade and transport facilitation areas that we discuss with various regulators in the region. The other outcome is increased participation by our historically disadvantaged individuals. We touched upon this. We have, of course, been challenged by the new board in this area that we must increase these targets. We had set a target of 5% of participating target groups in road and freight over the next 5 years. We are looking at revising those numbers. The board felt that these numbers are quite low. We've got to be more aggressive in our transformation strategy. We have started doing some work. We've now finished the database of all participating HDIs in the cross-border freight and tourism operations, and we want to use that as a base for us to launch some of the changes that we'd like to bring about in the industry, of course, working with various stakeholders. We had also identified an outcome called fair operating environment for cross-border road operators. And here, we talked earlier in the earlier part of the presentation about reciprocity. We are looking at how we can implement cross-border road transport charges. Here, it's important, Chairperson and members, to mention that South Africa is the only country that has not implemented the cross-border charges. And we are, of course, determined that working with our government, this must be implemented as part of reciprocity, but also as part of raising revenue for South Africa as well. For instance, you do realize that most of the accidents that happen in South Africa involving cross-border road vehicles still have to be carried by South Africa in terms of costs of cleaning up after those accidents. In cases where there have been chemical spillages, we have to carry those costs. SANRAL has to be involved in repairing the roads. The Department of Environmental Affairs has to be involved in terms of cleaning up some of the acid spillages and some of the dangerous chemicals on our roads. So we think that it's important to also save our road accident fund and limit the claims that are carried by the road accident fund for foreign operators. And therefore, the cross-border charges, in our view, will assist us to do all these things. It is also important that in terms of third-party insurance, we are present in that space and we provide third-party insurance to vehicles that are crossing into South Africa and to make sure that some of the areas that I've mentioned are also covered. To this extent, we have also further developed in the year under review, the pricing model for the cross-border road charges. And that is, of course, now in front of our government for consideration at the Department of Transport, as well as at the Department of National Treasury. So the entire package is sitting with the National Treasury for consideration in discussions with our National Department of Transport. Next slide. We have also identified an outcome called Functional and Reliable Cross-Border Road Transport and Trade Facilitation Platform. And this is really aimed at ensuring that all the traders that go to our borders, the freight operators, most of our stakeholders have access to up-to-date information about what's happening in our borders, in our corridors, across our borders, so that by the time they plan their business operations and they plan their movements, they have been in a position to access information about what's happening in the different areas. And it also assists business and operators to plan accordingly, but also to determine the various approaches of their businesses in terms of their movements into the various parts of the region and what needs to be done. So a lot of research has been conducted in this, and the platform is currently being launched in the current financial year. As at the end of the previous financial year, we're still preparing to launch, and it is being launched in the current financial year. Next slide. We have also, I think, part of the challenge that faces the CBRTA is that it is a single stream income business, and we've also tried to see, again, the new board has been very critical in pushing us in this direction to determine what are some of the viable cross-border, what are some of the viable mechanisms that we can implement to ensure that we have more streams of revenue in our space. And this is being looked at. One of those, of course, we have identified is the establishment of a training academy. And it is one of the areas that we're working on quite hard to ensure that we provide training capabilities not only to stakeholders in our country, but more importantly to our region, especially the regulatory environment in our region. We have also, in our space, tried or perhaps are busy finalizing the movement of the new system that we have launched, which is called the ICPMS, into the region. We believe that if we're able to offer these systems into the region, it will also promote the agenda of harmonization. It is one of the systems that we're very proud of because it will assist the business to move from a manual system into a much more automated system, so that operators do not have to go to our offices anymore to apply, but they can now apply online. Next slide. So we have also, I think, in terms of our own internal environment, thought that it's important that we strengthen our environment internally. We look at our culture, and these are some of the areas that we're working on. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. This is some of the areas that we're also working on internally to ensure that we strengthen our culture as a business, to focus on some of the ideas that we have set and to strengthen some of our values and our service to our customers. We've also looked at how we can communicate better. We've just recently launched a new communication strategy, and this is being driven internally within the business in partnership with some of our stakeholders. Next slide, please. Chair, I've spoken about the performance over the last 5 years, over the last financial year, I did say that we saw a decline because some of the factors that I had mentioned previously, one of those being COVID and the movement of our staff from our offices to their various bases at home, and the continual interruption. I think for the rest of the financial year, we never had our staff back. We are now seeing a better environment in terms of picking up again. But this has been the picture. We attained 67% of our targets in the previous financial year. And we also experienced some capacity challenges internally that we have sort of since addressed in terms of capacity, for instance, in areas of supply chain, in areas of IT. Those are being addressed and are being finalized. Next slide. So in terms of our achieved targets, I'm not going to spend time there because we still have to cover the financial part and we have less than 10 minutes left. I'm just going to leave it on the screen there, Chair, and mention that these are some of the targets that have been achieved. The one in regulated services and law enforcement, those also in facilitation, all those targets have been achieved that were set for the financial year. And these are some of the targets that have been achieved in the administration space. And the targets that gave us a bit of problems is again, the finalization of the procurement in the space of the platform. Again, we couldn't attain any viable service providers in the development of the curriculum. That was another space that gave us problems. We've gone back to the market again, and we hope we can finalize this. There were delays with the ICPMS because the service provider that was developing this could not finish the contract, because they couldn't continue to deliver in the manner we expected. We had to terminate the relationship with them and get new resources to complete the project. And finally, because of our staff were at home most of the time, some of the cultural interventions that we had targeted were not implemented. Next slide. So again, Chair, I will not waste your time. This is just a reflection of some of the drop in statistics. I did mention the fact that COVID had a massive impact in terms of our work and the permits we're issuing, and also some of the closures of the borders made sure that there was a significant drop in some of the permits that we issued as a business. So there was also a decline in our revenue. So as you can see, these are the comparative statistics of the various permits that we issued in the various areas for passenger permits, for buses and taxis, and for freight, and as well as the tourism permits. The tourism permits declined quite significantly. In the period under review, we also managed to do some law enforcement operations, although there was a decline. For instance, a decline of in the various areas that we looked at, because again of the COVID situation, we could not do a lot of law enforcement operations as we had planned. We also tried under difficult circumstances to look at some of our social responsibility programs. And as you can see on the screen, not much was done because of COVID, but those are some of the projects that we focused on in the year under review. Some of the youth programs in the border towns, some of the women's programs that you also worked on as an agency. Chair, with your permission, I'll now hand over to the CFO to cover the financial part briefly, and then we can open for questions from your side. Thank you very much.
Good evening, Chairperson. Good evening, honorable members. I'll be brief, Chairperson, due to the time constraints. Just to provide some high level or highlights in terms of our financial performance during the financial year under review. Overall, our total assets increased by 36.43%. The material increases were on the cash and cash equivalents, which increased by approximately 45%. This was as a result of the once-off government grants that was granted to us by the Department of Transport as a result of COVID, because the earlier indications in the financial year indicated that we will not be able to meet our financial obligations due to the low income that was being generated due to the complete closure in the earlier months of the financial year. The second increase was in the receivables, where we have, at the end of financial year, we had raised accounts receivable amounting from the annual compliance fees. In terms of the property, plant and equipment, it increased by about 14% when we were acquiring, especially the tools of trade as people were working remotely. And that 16% on intangible assets is as a result of the development of the system that was referred to earlier on. There was some financial expenditure that was incurred. However, as indicated earlier, the system could not be completely developed as a result of non-performance by the service provider. In terms of liabilities, they decreased slightly by 3.73%. Material changes being on the payables, where again, due to reduced expenditure levels as a result of COVID, and also the provisions decreased. We can move to the next slide. Okay, just to indicate that in terms of our financial ratios, the material one being the liquidity, where it increased from 4.1, from 4:1 to 6:1 year on year, again, mainly to the cash and cash equivalents and the total increase in, total assets. And I have touched on the others, just the operating lease liability of 100%. It's due to the new office lease. It's more of a book entry, having moved to the new building in the during the financial year under review. In terms of revenue, as indicated, our main source of revenue is permit revenue, which does pose as a risk to the organization because we are relying mainly on that. Again, that once-off grants, it assisted us in reducing the impact of the decrease in revenue. You know, even having accounted for this once off grants, our revenue decreased year on year by 5.6%. Again, mainly on the main source or the mainstream of revenue, where we saw a 10% decrease. Again, this was after taking into account the 4% inflationary increase. So the situation was quite dire and would have seen a significant impact on operations had we not had this once-off grant of 38.5. Again, just 1 minute again, if you can just go back again. Yeah. In terms of the interest, it decreased to 28.72 as a result of those reduced interest rates as the country was under lockdown. And also the increase in revenue, it came later in the year as a result of the grant. And the expenditure was again, 15% lower compared to last year as a result of reduced activities and cost containment measures that were implemented. Year on year surplus was 67.5% higher Again, that's 48 million in surplus. The major part thereof was as a result of that once-off government grant. We had to be cautious and conservative as we're incurring expenditure because the future was unknown as a result of COVID. Thank you. Next slide. The admin fees or penalty income was much lower at 57.01 decrease. This is the principal-agent relationship that we have with RTMC. It was lower, again, due to reduced operations as a result of COVID on cross-border operations. Next slide, please. With regard to the audit outcomes, the agency achieved a clean audit for the sixth year in succession. And the AG looked at the three main areas where they concluded on the fair presentation of the financial statement during the financial year under review. However, they did raise an emphasis of matter which did not affect on the audit outcome as a result of us for the first time recognizing annual compliance fees. Previously, we were treating annual compliance fees as on a cash basis. However, for the year under review and going forward, these are accounted for on an accrual basis in terms of GRAP 3. The AG also concluded on the predetermined objectives, where he indicated that there were no material findings on the usefulness and reliability of the reported performance information, and also indicated that there were no material findings on non-compliance with key legislation. Thank you, Chair. Just to CEO.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we can leave it here. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, CEO. Let's see hands that are ready to engage. I have the hand of Honorable Lisa Mang. Can we get another hand? Okay. Honorable Member Mangu, let's shoot.
Thank you very much.
Followed by Honorable Makosini. I'm sorry about that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. Well, I think in the year under review, I would have loved to see in the financials what was the impact of the lockdown financially, other than the permits, law enforcement. I didn't see those figures there, but I think the CFO emphasized the grant that came from the department. Maybe I missed it. There has also been a lot of blockage in the Bite Bridge. Have we costed the losses there? What were those losses, if at all, that would have been caused by the blockages? Even I think during lockdown we could see some when there were openings happening. What was the cost of the automated number plate recognition vehicle? I see that you have been having it on the radar for quite a long time. What is the reason that you are not implementing the cross-border charges that you so CEO believe that you are the only country that is not doing it? Thank you, Chairperson.
Load shedding. Thank you very much, Chairperson. My first question would be, in fact, let me start by congratulating CRBTA for clean audit, even if they have received a once-off gratuity from the government. I would like them to tell us how and what methodology did they use in order to get these results, and also would like you to come up with clean and teach other entities how to run the show. Then also, with due respect, can you please give us the number of females representatives in your leadership? That's gender equity. Spillage of dangerous substances and cleaning of roads due to accident. I think the government here should speed up the process of engaging SADC with regard to this matter so that it can be solved with immediate effect. And last but not least, what was the reason for overspending on the law enforcement programs? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Makhosini. Back to the acting CEO. For response and your team.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Thank you so much. Maybe let me start with the easier ones. We have not yet costed the cost of delays at Bay Bridge. We have started with this exercise. I think the Honorable Minister of Transport had requested us in one of his correspondences to our office to start looking into the space, but it is of course a research process that needs to be enacted over time. But we have asked our research team to look into it, and I'm sure at some point we'll be able to share with the committee once those costs have been determined and they have been established. And I think it is also important to say that I think it is an important area that we need to look into, because it does really to a large extent not only impact CBRTA or government departments, but impact the industry at large and the country as a whole. So I think we will be touching base with various stakeholders to determine how we could avoid this in the future, but also more importantly, to identifying the costs that have been raised, the costs that have been incurred by the country at large as a result of the delays at Bay Bridge. Secondly, I think the cost of the vehicle that Honorable Manu is asking about was about 700,000 rand. And we are glad that finally, I think we've come through with it, because as he says, the agency has been planning to have such a vehicle for quite some time. So it has now been implemented. It is operational. It is assisting with a lot of law enforcement operations across the country. And it is complementing what is happening with SAPS and other law enforcement agencies. Suffice to add that the agency is also looking at other smart tools, given the limited budgets that we have and the constraints that we have. We are exploring other smart tools because we realize that the future does not really lie on boots on the ground a lot, but it lies on our ability to deploy the right technologies at the right places to assist us to monitor the corridors that we operate in, but more importantly, to assist us to defend our revenue on an ongoing basis. Because if there is a pilferage, if there are people that operate without licenses and permits along those corridors, it then means that CBRTA and government are losing revenue consistently. So we've got to try by all means possible to implement some of these changes and to make sure that technology assists us to do that. In terms of cross-border charges, we are awaiting government, Honorable Manu, we are awaiting government as CBRTA. We have made proposals. We are in discussions with government. And of course, we'll be guided by government. It is not up to the CBRTA to implement. I think the CBRTA will be guided by the National Treasury and our mother department, which is the Department of Transport. Once we have made proposals and we have tabled those proposals to the department and government in general, we are of the view that it is important that these cross-border charges are implemented. It is not only for the benefit of CBRTA, but it is for the benefit of our country to cover even some of the costs that the country is incurring as a result of some of the accidents, of some of the damages to our roads, of some of the inability to access third-party insurance by various cross-border operators. And therefore, these carry a significant cost to our government, even for cleaning those roads that Honorable McCosin was talking about. It becomes the cost of a South African government. We think it's important that foreign operators carry some of these costs, because most of our operators that go into foreign countries do carry these costs in one way or the other. And therefore, for us, it's about balancing the scales. It's also about reciprocity, which is also covered in the SADC protocol. It is about ensuring that the playing fields are leveled across the spectrum. We are trying our level best, Ntate Makhosini, Honorable Makhosini. We do try our level best to make sure that we manage these businesses as prudently as possible. Our board expects us to do that on a day-to-day basis. Our government, our deputy minister who's present here, and our minister expect us, and then the DG and the rest of the department, in fact, in South Africa at large, expect nothing but prudency in managing these resources and managing these businesses. We're not saying that we won't make mistakes in the future, but at least for now, we're committed to ensuring that we run a clean ship and we continue to deliver these clean audits on an ongoing basis. We are prepared, if needs be, to share some of the experiences with our sister agencies and other agencies. I think our teams are available to do that. But for now, I think I can leave it there. The cost of the spillage are often covered by our various departments, and more importantly, the Department of Environmental Affairs. But it is not covered by us, fortunately. But it is a huge cost, because if you have a truck that comes from the DRC carrying fuel and capsizes on our roads, somebody must clear that fuel. And it has happened several times in the past. We've also even had trucks that carry dangerous gases that explode on our highways to the significant damage of our roads, and somebody must repair those costs. Hence, we believe that the levying of cross-border charges will assist to this extent. However, I know, maybe just to say that government has also warned us, I know that the deputy minister is in the meeting, that we should also try to balance that we do not ensure that cross-border operators carry a significant and a heavy burden. We should try and balance in terms of levying cross-border charges. That we're looking into, working with government to see what would be the best and sweet spot for us to levy the charges. But it is our conviction that those charges ought to be levied. There was a question about lockdown, the finances of lockdown in the financial statements, that they were not reflected the cost of lockdown, if there is any reflection in the financial statement. The CFO will assist us with that.
Thanks, Chairperson. Yeah, just to indicate in terms of the cost of lockdown, so during the first month of the financial year, we were only able to recover about 37% of what was budgeted for. So we therefore lost 63% of that, you know, during the first month. So on a monthly basis, we budget to recover about 18 million. So we only recovered 37% thereof. So in the following month, again, it started to pick up as the lockdown levels were relaxed. So in the following month, again, it moved to about 60%. Therefore, we lost about 30%. So overall, we were we only recovered about 80% of our expected revenue. Hence, we were able, the DOT then assisted us with that 38.5 million. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, the final question that I didn't deal with is the question of female representation in senior management. At the moment, I think we're sitting at about 40%, but it was definitely growing. I'm sure by the time we report in the next round, we should be about 50% or more. That's where we are at the moment in terms of the full-time employed senior executives. But in terms, if you take those that are acting, I think the balance of scales will tilt slightly to about 50%. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Baba Umboi, CEO, Chairperson, and the team. Thank you very much, and for coming to present yourself and the good work that you are doing. I wish to take this opportunity to release in this meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the panel.
I can hear the happiness of being released by the portfolio committee.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. John. RTMC. Are they here, Valerie?
Yes, Chair, and I've connected the Zoom to co-host already.
Now, why are they not answering me? I thought they were very literate when it comes to this thing. The ones on your team? RTMC?
Good afternoon, Chair, together with the honorable members of the committee, as well as colleagues.
Yes, good afternoon. Good afternoon, CEO. I'm sure the Chair is there. I wish to take this opportunity to allow you to present. My wish is that around 20 past 7, you should come back to me so that I allow some questions and so forth. Otherwise, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Chair. Once again, together with the honorable members, we will then allow the Chair to take through the overview. He's not at the same venue as all of us, but the Chair is connecting remotely, Chair. If we'll seek your indulgence, he can take over.
That is well in order. Welcome, Chair, and good afternoon or evening.
Chair, I do believe that perhaps the intervention of the load shedding might be debarring my honorable Chair to be on this platform, but let me then, in the meantime, read his brief so that, Chair, we don't waste any time. Chair, together with the honorable members of the committee, we're submitting this annual report, but I do believe that the audit chairperson has connected remotely. Sisnomo Samafumani, she's part of us, and I want to also thank her because she's taking charge of this process. Chair, we're submitting the annual report in terms of the provisions of both the PFMA as well as the RTMC Act interchangeably. But obviously, the scope of our presentation will cover four critical areas, which is the governance, performance, financial, and human resource management. Taking cue from the Chair's overview. Chair's overview, and Chair, I'm reading what he is saying. The overview is primarily guided by the Constitution of South Africa, as well as the RTMC Act. This guidance is also underpinned by key priorities of government as outlined in the 2019 to 2024 medium-term strategic framework. Chair, the chairperson says that the RTMC continued its existence dependent on the extent to which it can promote and create a safer road environment. Also, the ability to coordinate and integrate road safety interventions from all spheres of government, inclusive of the facilitation of the development of the road safety. He then takes a moment to then define the governance structure of the RTMC, which is underpinned obviously by the shareholder, the board of directors, chief executive, as well as the executive committee. The chairperson then makes two remarkable and profound remarks in terms of the issues that were, of course, very pertinent and very challenging in the year that was, which of course include, amongst others, the completion of the organizational realignment of the organization, as well as the unpredicted outbreak of the COVID-19, which of course in its own era had provided some opportunities and limitations to ensure that we do things in a different and alternative methodology, testing the resilience of the corporation. The chair further, in terms of the opportunities as well as the challenges that are confronting the corporation, he then put to the fore the aging infrastructure of the e-natives, which is the backbone of the entire information of all the South African citizens and, of course, compliant with the POPI Act. He also then makes an articulation of the 21st century CADA development in terms of the traffic, of the law enforcement traffic trainees, which, of course, were affected, but to the greater extent, he laments the bureaucratic steps that have also compounded the ineptness within the DLTCs as well as the license deadlock, which is a reality that is confronting us currently. He indeed, as he presents his report, makes a commitment of the RTMC to improve road safety within all the roads in South Africa, and at the very same time, to lay a solid foundation for improved traffic law enforcement management to the harmonization and professionalization of the road traffic law enforcement sector in the country. He then gets to the marrow of the issue, and the chair then says, we had, as a corporation, being entrusted with 14 targets. To that extent, 8 targets were achieved and 6 targets were not, of course, achieved. He, however, immediately began to give reasons as to why there was this underperformance, informed by numerous factors, which amongst others include the outbreak of the COVID-19, as well as the application and the enforcement of the Disaster Management Act, which on its own has placed certain severe limitations in terms of movement and traveling. The chairperson placed it on record, the commitment of improving South African roads, as well as adherence to the culture of sound governance, integrity, and transparency. Over the medium long-term period, he then says the corporation will pursue the implementation on 3 levels to achieve improved road safety, which underpins targeted interventions to improve intelligence and awareness, leveraging partnership to maximize impact, as well as targeted interventions. He takes up at the very same time, in his humbleness, he then, of course, find it more appropriate to acknowledge the sterling leadership and stewardship that has been given by both the Honorable Minister and the Deputy Minister, and in the same breath, then begins to commend the executive management team as well as everybody. That was the brief of the of the chairperson, who has obviously, chairperson has joined us. And I will think that prior to me taking over the, what I'm supposed to present, to allow the chairperson to just perhaps acknowledge and of course greet the chairperson as a humble and honorable man that also holds the portfolio at high esteem. Chairperson, if your indulgence can allow our chairperson to just make a opening remark in view of the delay that we have had in terms of the connectivity.
Thank you, CEO. Chair.
Good evening, Chair, and good evening, members of the committee. Incidentally, I connected 5 minutes ago. My apologies for the lateness in connectivity. I had to connect differently. But having said that, Chair, mine is simply to confirm our commitment to always come before your committee for accountability purposes and for us to field any questions, comments, and criticism, as we believe that we can only grow stronger and stronger by taking heed of what the Oversight Committee has to say by way of guidance, and where we have to take the flag, we do so with an open mind. It is indeed true what the CEO read, I followed, and that would have been my opening remarks. And I therefore do not deem it necessary to waste any further time, but rather with your permission to allow him then to go into the heart of the report, and thereafter we will all field questions and be held accountable. Thank you very much, Chair, and once again, my apologies to you and the members of the committee.
Thank you very much, Chair. Over to you, CEO.
Chairperson and the Honorable Committee, it is befitting at this point in time to indicate and place on record that I'm with the entire management of the RTMC in its various portfolios, in view of the fact that the management deemed it prudent under the standing leadership of the board that at all material times, we have to give the portfolio committee the undivided and unparalleled support. To that extent, all my colleagues are in the room. And Chair, allow me from the onset that I will then ensure that this presentation is segmented to three critical areas. The EM finance will then begin to deal with the financial issues, and EM corporate services may as well as strategy. But we deem it prudent, Chair, to take a narrative of our trajectory in terms of the audit outcomes. It will be very clear that for on 3 years, we have had clean audit, which was not qualified. But in the 3 subsequent years, we have unqualified with findings. And we therefore take issues as to emphasize these issues. Chairperson, we are not bemoaning because we come immediately after the CBRTA, but we have found an anomaly simply because they had got a clean audit when both of us had made some adjustment into the issue, but obviously mother luck was not on our side, hence ours was qualified. But it's an issue that we'll take with the Auditor General. But in relation to the predetermined performance information, Chairperson, which will then be segmented into 5 areas, which is operations, law enforcement, traffic intelligence and security, strategic services and support services. The performance of our corporation fairly, Chairperson, reflects the actual achievement against planned objectives underpinned by the indicators and targets as per the approved strategic plan and the APP. But Chair, we're not putting this as a disclaimer, the reality was the entire country had to undergo the COVID-19, which was declared as an a pandemic on the 11th of March 2020, which of course impacted negatively on us, in particular in terms of the traffic training, trainees, as well as the law enforcement. And some of the restrictions that were imposed on us by the COVID-19 included, amongst others, Chairperson, limited contact with persons who may be infected, prohibition of gatherings of more than 100 people, all non-essential domestic travels, particularly by air, rail, taxi, and buses, were discouraged. And this is the marrow of our operations within the traffic law enforcement, which therefore placed a spanner in the wheel. And at the same time, the issue of most of the staff that had to be quarantined because of having came into contact with the people that, of course, might have tested positive. The resultant result, Chairperson, as well as the committee, we then, our performance was fined to be at 57%, which we, of course, regret unreservedly and detest, because that's not who we are as the RTMC. It does not emulate the capacity of men and women in that area, which obviously contrasted with the previous one, we said at 80%. But we then ensured that we begin to articulate each program as to the performance. Those that were related to the road safety, amongst others, dealt with the youth programs, which were underpinned by the collaboration with the relevant stakeholders, the driver programs. Indeed, this is a critical aspect of turning the mindset and the culture of our drivers, as well as community-based as road safety programs, because that's where things happen. If we can have the partnership with the public and the communities, who are certain to change the behavior of our road users. Chairperson, we then also gave, in the limitation of the traffic training, that the limitations of the Disaster Management Act, as well as the COVID-19, to that extent, made learning and education to be inhibited. To that extent, it was then fragmented and segmentized in terms of certain percentages, which on its own, whereas was a limitation, as we then realized that out of the targeted modules, we could not complete all the modules because at some time we had to close the college. The law enforcement, the limitation as we have articulated in terms of the Disaster Management Act, prohibiting traveling, particularly internally and externally, also plays an uninhibited limitation on us. We achieved 4,322 targets in terms of the law enforcement interventions. What we never achieved was almost 212. This is a reality that is beyond any human control, but because we are law-abiding citizens, we have to comply with the Disaster Management Act, as well as indeed the impact of this Disaster Management Act had placed on us. However, Chairperson, besides all those limitations in terms of fighting fraud and corruption, we exceeded our target and operated maximally, because that was too an opportunity that there would be fraudsters thought that we are in slumber, but we are very active in our working. The same issue related to the research, because that is the fulcrum of our operations within the RTMC, that we need to be more active in terms of the research of both the road safety and publication of such. That also, in terms of the ensuring that we deal with the computerization of the DLTCs and centers, we could not achieve same simply because of the delay in the procurement services. Chairperson, in terms of the human capital, we have dealt with the four talent management initiatives that were, of course, implemented. When it comes to the financial performance, we reduced our revenue, we declined in terms of the revenue collection by 5%. This has initially been in the impact of the COVID-19, and indeed, Chairperson, that's what has compounded the backlog that we're currently confronted with within our DLTCs as well as on our roads, as we had, or the minister was forced to then begin to give some clemency on the non-compliance of those that have been in our roads. So in terms of the, we did not wait and fold our arms in terms of the underperformance. We had put in place some strategies to deal with the underperformance, particularly in terms of the traffic training personnel. We have ensured that we relocate certain of the personnel to key areas where we make an impact, as well as we had to adapt to the online practices and ensure that this becomes a new normal in our operation. We also had to improve the internal planning and coordination. The same will then find expression in terms of the implementation of the digital solutions, as well as the traffic law enforcement. We had to change our deployment strategy to ensure that we, of course, make South Africa proud. But because we are compelled in terms of the provisions of Section 24 of the RTMC Act that we need to be self-sustainable, we then had to ensure that we robustly implement the funding model of the corporation. When it gets to the human resource management, which is, of course, the center and the engine of all what we are doing, we needed to focus in particular areas, which was, of course, the organizational structure, the employment and vacancies program, as well as the equity target and the cost related to. Chair, we're giving a bird's eye view in terms of the organizational structure of the organization, in terms of the men and women that are driving the process. We deemed it prudent that we must table everything before the committee. We had alluded that the year under review, we're dealing with the reorganization of the reorganization and restructuring of our organogram. To that extent, that resulted in the vacancy rate of 26%, simply because this is a matter of having to deal with a newly compounded structure. This is particularly on the basis that we initially had 902 positions, we're sitting at 1149. And when we look at the equity target, out of a star, we compare the years that were from 2019, we'll then realize that we are beginning to do better than the years that have been. And in terms, though we have not achieved the 50-50 balance, if you look in terms of the mains, we're sitting at 56%, and in terms of the mains, we're sitting at 44%. So we are endeavoring at all costs to increase the number as we grow. Chairperson, in terms of ensuring that we're all ahead, as the Constitution refers, allow me, Chair, to allow Mem Mungale to deal with the issues of the slide 29 in terms of the corporate social responsibility, and subsequently the EM finance will then deal with the issues.
Thank you, CEO. Good evening to the members of the portfolio committee and colleagues. In terms of our CSR program, we focus on issues that have got to do with COVID-19 as a major point in South Africa during the reporting period. Seven programs were implemented in various provinces, and these programs included the Nelson Mandela CSR project, fire disaster relief project. Women were also a focus area. We also looked at festive season, road safety education and child stimulating toys, school readiness, and the National Feminine Care Project. Over to you, CFO.
Thank you, Sue. Good evening, Chair and members. Just to take you through the audited annual financial statements for the year, we'll do a brief check on the spending patterns, the various analysis on our programs, as well as the revenue that we generated for the financial year. Looking at our spending pattern, we did decrease our spend from the 1920 financial year in line with the reduced revenue of the financial year as a result of COVID. The concomitant expenditure also slowed down as a result of COVID. Our revenue of our spend for the year was 4% over the budget. In the main, that was due to the non-cash items such as your depreciation and your various provisions. Looking at the various analysis by the programs, under our operations, we had a delay in the traffic training project of the additional trainees coming in, and the majority of the year, the trainees that were at the college were the number of 300. Under our law enforcement, the deployments for law enforcement officers, especially at the borders, did decrease significantly as a result of COVID-19, and a lot of our law enforcement activations that we had planned for the financial year did not take place. Under our traffic intelligence, which is our anti-corruption unit, the under expenditure is as a result of majority of our projects taking place in Gauteng, hence less traveling took place for that unit. Under our strategic services, the expenditure that was underspent was in the main as a result of the computerized learner license testing centers that we did not get to deploy all the numbers that were anticipated for the financial year. For our support services, the overspend there, like I mentioned, is as a result of the non-cash items such as depreciation and our provisions. Looking at our economic classification spend, the biggest portion of our expenditure is for part of employees for the financial year, and then in the main, the item that contributed to the CAPEX is the CLRCs, which is the computerized learner license testing centers that I just spoken about. Looking at our revenue patterns, our revenue did decrease for the financial year as a direct result of COVID, as well as we adjusted our budget to take out the revenue streams which were not yet approved by the Minister of Finance. Approval did come through towards the end of the financial year, and we are currently busy with the regulations for those revenue streams to bring them in. That wraps up the finances. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. As we conclude, it is with some heavy hearts that as we present this annual report to the committee, we do so without some of the critical staff members, and may their soul rest in peace. These are men and women that have given their all to the South Africans. And in saying so, Chairperson, we do believe that wherever they are, the annual report that we table is with them too. Thank you, Chair. chairperson, we were given to give back to the chairperson at 20 past seven. Understanding the chairperson and your Genore city, we have given it back to you 15 minutes earlier. That's the punctuality that RTMC operates for.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, CEO and your team. Let me see hands. Hands of honorable members who wants to participate. I can see one hand. Ubawo Umabena. Ubawo Umakosini. Ushabangu. Masrakele Pambili. Bawo Umabena.
No, ngithokoze sihlalo, ngithokoze ithuba engilifumana namhlanje nambama, ngiloshise abalingani bokhe bakhona emhlanganweni, ngiloshise nabalingani abavela ezikweni i-Road Traffic Management Corporation. Sithokoze samukele ne-report abaqeduwe ukuyithula njenganje. Chairperson, I don't know whether this was said in jest or, but I have a difficulty with what the gentleman that was presenting said. You said that your qualified audit was because of lack of luck. I have a serious problem with that statement. It's very problematic, extremely problematic. You cannot say that you get a qualified audit and then you tell us that it's because of lack of luck. In any case, the Auditor General of South Africa tells you that if you receive a qualified audit, it's not because of lack, it's because you can't do your job, you can't present financial statements on time, or your financial statements have gross misstatements on them, and you are not able to produce credible and reliable financial statements on time, and whether they were material misstatements on your specific areas on your financial statements, which could not be corrected on time before the financial statements were published. That is not because of lack of luck. It's because someone is not doing the job, and that someone there is sleeping on the job. And this is a critical function of the entity. It cannot be because it's lack of luck. I think you need to correct that. And I think that is, yeah, I think let's not get carried away, but it can be. It cannot be. We're dealing with financials here. It's not about luck. It's about you planning, making sure that you execute, making sure that you submit the statements on time, making sure that you correct any gross material misstatements on the financial statements as directed by the AG during the audit process. What then happens of your internal audit committees within your own entity if they can't pick up these things and now that they have to be picked up by the AG and you get a qualified audit? That means your internal controls, your financial internal controls, even your audit committees within at board level, even at executive level, management level, you could not correct this. And therefore you come and tell us that it's because of luck. It can be. I think that is a serious mistake that you must never ever repeat again. It's financial statements that we're dealing with, and something like that is unacceptable. And I will not accept it, Chairperson. Moving on, you said that on the you could not achieve, you achieved the 33% in terms of one of the programs there. Actually, what happened there? I mean, there's so many people in South Africa which do not have jobs. You know, there was one entity that came and did exactly what you're doing to us last year, and we're not very kind to them. They could not fill their vacancies because of COVID-19. Yet we are connecting into this meeting. You are where you are. I am at home. Professionals who have graduated from wherever, they can be assisted in terms of this. Of course, if it's because of the traffic intake, obviously that's a different process. But I feel it's not only entirely on the failure to train the traffic training. But also, even if COVID is there, I mean, there are regulations. You can find a venue big enough that can accommodate all the traffic trainees and achieve social distancing and adhere to the regulations. And then you can achieve 100% on that program and have that intake. What's so difficult about getting people into one venue, process them, start training them, and then deploy them? We can't behave the way government was behaving at the start of COVID when they said that we can't buy hot food at garages. That's nonsense. So please, I think someone needs to be held accountable here. I don't know if we have anyone who is in charge of this. I heard you saying that you have moved personnel around, you've juggled them around who were dealing with this into key positions and whatnot. But I think the portfolio committee deserves to know what happened. What is the reason? You can't give us a generic reason why we're achieving 33% on that program. What happened? What is the real program? I mean, what is the real problem? You couldn't, what happened? Tell us what happened. And then another issue, maybe this is, I'm going to say this in jest, but your vehicle depreciation rate at RTMC, I think when we came to RTMC, when we started in the portfolio committee, when we came, I think it's in Centurion or in Midrand, somewhere there, we were driven around and we passed a very huge yard with scattered cars of RTMC being subjected to all manner of weather conditions. Be it it's storming, it's rain, it's the sun, everything on those cars. What is your expenditure in terms of your fleet, in terms of fleet management? And what is your depreciation rate in terms of the vehicles that we have? Because seemingly, I mean, we started in this committee in 2019, it's 2021 now. You can't tell me that it's so difficult to get covering and get those cars to be parking under a covered parking at such a big organization, a respectable, reputable organization like RTMC. Now, we are going to inadvertently spend more in terms of the vehicle depreciation rate. And you might take it lightly and say, no, if a car reaches 100,000, then it needs to be out, then it's automatically out of service. But a car can still not reach 100,000, but you may find that because of other factors, the depreciation rate of the vehicle is very low. And and that's going to affect your financials in terms of your fleet spend and management and the money that you therefore have there. Moving on, another issue here is the 26% vacancy rate as well. Now, in the entire organization, I think I'm not going to rant on this. Again, goes to the same point that I was making. There's so many young people who are unemployed, qualified. And you can't say that you can fill over 900 vacancies and you filled only, I think you said 112 or something like that. It's unacceptable. We live in a digital age. No one has to come and be with you for an interview or anything like that. But if you have an entire executive management who can plan to fill vacancies, and the only excuse that they can give us, and they have the confidence to come and present to the legislature in the National Assembly and say the excuse is because of COVID-19, you have serious problems. Big problems that you need to deal with. Your people who are in your talent divisions and HR, they need to have a serious conversation amongst themselves. It's problematic. RTMC is very reputable and is very respected entity. And it would be a shame that something like this is just derailing you from that good thing. One last thing. You know, the COVID-19 has taken quite a lot of people. But as RTMC, we had a lot of people on the last slide, the tribute. I saw the former executive mayor of Johannesburg, the former minister, and. Sometimes, you know, statistics you know, they matter. You must be apolitical in these things sometimes. You must not be, you know, rigid in your approach and where, what's these things that are, worn by horses, you know. You must just be aware of some of those things. Be apolitical in your approach and there are no problems. Thank you very much, Chair.
Vauma pen. Ndikuvile, ndikuvile tata. Mkhaya esu thabe mo. Ai bantso le teng. Ke bona tsatsi.
Thank you, Chair. Let me also take this opportunity to thank Advocate Msibi and his team for the presentation that they've done. My first question would be, what do you do in order to do away with the rot that is taking place all over South Africa with regard to selling of licenses by the officials of government and the driving schools? An example is what happened in Thabo Mokgutswanyane, where driving school owners were prosecuted by your department. Two, why do you get unqualified audit after working well for so many years? Three, your traffic post nationally, and how do you advertise them to reach the rural part of South Africa, which comprises of the poor of the poorest areas? Then of the 13 targets you have set for yourselves, only 7 were met. Which programs were not done and what is the reason for not doing them? Again, the ACSA has found that there has been violation of the supply chain management processes. How are you going to address this disease that is common in most of the government entities? Last but not least, what was the reason for overspending in support services? Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Ndate Makhosini, Shabangu. Ba uketa mabani. Job.
Mseni Shabangete.
Ah, mseni ukhloniphile, ngiyabona isandla. Sesikhona emoyeni ithi ngikuthathe.
Mangete. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you to Advocate Msibi and the entire officials.
Hello.
I have some few questions that I need to some clarity on them, because you in 2017. Hello.
Now leave the hello and continue with your work.
Okay.
Yes.
Because on 2016-2017, they get the clean audit. And 2017-2018, they get clean, unqualified with findings. And 2020-2021, they get unqualified with findings. So what I'm trying to check there.
Come back. Let's hear what are you trying to check, Mondis.
Fill up the vacancies, because it seems that this 26% is too much, because we are talking about that we have a higher rate of unemployment in this country, so we cannot have this 26%.
Mondisi ulahlekile mfowethu. Masikushiye lapho. Advocate.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, with all the humility.
No, no. Sorry, Chair.
Yes, Chairperson.
Sorry, my apologies. I thought I had raised my hand. Before CEO speaks, I just want, with your permission, to deal with one issue, which is a governance issue. And as the chair, I am the custodian of governance. And if there is any blame, I must shoulder it. And this is a concern that was raised by Babuma Bena. And I think, with respect, we need to be factual, even as we take criticism. Firstly, Babuma Bena said, we have a qualified audit, and he repeated that on no less than 6 times. It is not true. The presentation does indicate that it is unqualified audit. And to the extent that he may have misunderstood what the CEO said when he said that Mother Luck was not on our side, I think that's a fair criticism, because if we don't clarify these things, they may be taken out of context. So firstly, in fairness to us, the report speaks for itself. It is an unqualified audit. Secondly, Chair, we had also asked, not invited, but asked the AG to be available for transparency in the event that members of the Oversight Committee were to want to hear from the AG directly. But because it was not our meeting, we couldn't take the liberty of inviting. As a matter of fact, at the AGM held 3 weeks ago, the AG present at the meeting confirmed that our audit is unqualified, performance is unqualified 100%. The issue related to an interpretation with regard to the BEE codes and their applicability thereof. The AG herself, or the representative of the AG themselves, were part of the pre-award process. There were 4 differing legal opinions on the very matter. And we agreed that for the sake of intergovernmental harmony, let us accept the AG's view on that particular interpretation, even if we didn't agree with it. It had nothing to do with ineptitude. We still believe in today that our view was correct. As matters stand, Chair, 2-3 days ago, on that very issue, because Ketamabala also touched on it, the National Treasurer, to whom we and the AG referred our dispute, also gave a view that says neither ourselves nor the AG were correct. However, we then applied for condonation in respect of that item of expenditure, which we received, and it is available. And I've directed the company secretary to share it with the members of the Oversight Committee. That was the only reason why we could not get unqualified and clean. It was as a result of that issue, and it is a matter that we were determined to ventilate in a court so that there is clarity even across all other entities, because issues of BEE codes have become problematic. But we accepted that if this is what the AG says, let us agree on what steps to take going forward. Not because the AG was correct, but for the record, and if I am wrong, Chair, please rule me out of order, because at no point did we say in the presentation it was a qualified audit, because it is not. In the 7 years that we've been in office, we've never had a qualified audit. I thought, as a chair of the board, I should deal with that, and I take the criticism. I take everything else that Babuma Bena has said in all humility, and we will address the concerns that we have raised. I will leave the operational aspect to the operational team. And thanks for the indulgence, Chair. I didn't mean to interject, but I wanted to deal with governance issue, because the member raises the governance issue fairly. It resorts to the board, and the board must be open to accept accountability, which I do on behalf of the collective that I lead. But it was based on just either started by the CEO, but factually the presentation speaks for itself, Chair. Thank you very much for the indulgence.
Thank you very much, because we still have a bit of time. Thank you, Chair. Bauma Ben.
Well, thank you very much, Chairperson. I think, look, I have no problem whatsoever in correcting that and in withdrawing that, that in incorrect and that was attributed to the thingy. Advocate Zola Machavu, and for that, yes, I sincerely do apologize, and it's duly noted. But I think, Chairperson, perhaps, because we did have an engagement with the AGSA, when we do have another engagement, we should also canvass this issue of the BE codes, because yes. I think it might be something that might also be problematic for other entities.
Yes.
Because I hear Advocate Zola Machavu saying that it's something that they're even prepared to go and litigate on to make sure that they get the clean audits and whatnot. But I think in as far where there were errors which I made, I absolutely have no problem to withdraw and apologize on that. And yeah, I think we can move on from that. Thanks, Chair. But all the other questions and comments remain. They need to be answered. Thank you.
Noted, no, and that's why, yes, noted, and at a CEO, and, oh, sorry,
I can see that you are moving on very well, Chairperson and Ubauma Pena. With all the humility, I want to go back to the RTMC and maybe the CEO, Ubaun Londlo. Indeed, he was preparing to answer all other questions that has not been answered. I think that's what the Honorable Mapena is saying, and I'm happy that the issue, which seems to be a burning issue, has been resolved. Asrakelen Pambili, Asho Mandebele, Londlo.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you to the Honorable committee members. Zuzakela Pambi. Chairperson, the issue of the a valid point of the high level of unemployment, it's a major concern and it's unacceptable. However, we want to put issues into context. The reorganization and the realignment was completed at the RTMC at the end of January, which happened during the COVID scenario. And that was 2 months before the end of the financial year. Even if we wanted to be in the positions, it could not have been. Post that process, a number of positions, I think, at the RTIT, 37 positions have already been filled post-March, but we couldn't account for it during the financial year because it's a year that has gone by. But the second issue, it's what Honorable Mapena refers to. It relates to the employment of the traffic officers. Ordinarily, had it not been of COVID, in December, some of the traffic officers should have passed out, but we had to delay the education because they are out on the basis of the COVID. We have made all means possible to get a venue. Perhaps we must share this with the committee. The venue that could have accommodated a 1,000 traffic officers additional that was supposed to be taken. The cheapest of them all was the Esslin Park, which one demanded of us 860 million a year as a renter. And by any stretch of imagination, that would not have been prudent financial matters. It is on those basis that RTMC had resolved to then begin to renovate the college at the Buchanan College, which will then delay the process for this year so that we have an intake of 8,000 next year, and the cost even of renovating that college, having gone into a tender and accommodating 2,000 students. The tender was about 401. First phase is 190, and the second phase of constructing another 1,000 goes to about 190. So 860 million would have by far been an issue that would have been an irregular expenditure. We are very much concerned about the number, because by now as RTMC, we should have employed 4,000 traffic officers, because annually we're supposed to take 1,000 traffic officers every year to meet even the standards on our routes. But because of the unavailability of issues, one of the venues was charging 1.1 billion a year. So it couldn't have been a possibility of us getting there within the sparsity of the budget, when our budget is 1.3 billion, including salaries. If we were to hire those premises, it was not going to be affordable. So that we have taken the point, but we are very hard at place to ensure that we get those. But for lecturing staff, we've already appointed 37 of them to ensure that we have the requisite number. The second level was within the innate fraternity. We have also, in that aspect, filled the position post-March. So that could not be put into the financial year of the year that ended in March. It's regrettable, but it's what it happened. The fleet management and the depreciation. If we look at the fleet management, our depreciation is over 6 years in terms of the lifespan of the vehicle, and the depreciation is at 23 million per annum. It is on those bases that there is an over expenditure in particularly in relation to support services. It's because of the amount of the depreciation. But the question is, we have vehicles that we are parking at Sanre. Those vehicles are parked in an open area without the shade over them. We had taken cognizance of those. Those were the surplus of the vehicles that we could not park under the shade. But the intervention mechanism that has been taken to all of us, those are the cars that are in the shift that are obviously from 6 to 2, 2 to 10, and 10 to 6 are used by the shift. So there's no car that then begin to be standing, save for those that will be en route to go to other provinces to do the operations. That's how we're mitigating the issue of the non-shelter until this issue. But let me hasten to indicate, we have a building that we secured, and the tender processes were finalized. But because of the provisions of Section 24 of the Road Traffic Act that we need to be self-sustainable, we needed to link that portion with the pounding facility. It's a given that in South Africa, you don't have pounds. It is on those issues that we have the vehicles that are going to the neighboring states being overloaded, and we can't impound them, save giving them a ticket. But Treasury has not approved that we can have the pounding facility. Had it been approved 2 years ago, we would not even be having any one vehicle under the shade, but it would also have dealt with the issue of the overloading. So that was the cost-cutting measure that we wanted to ensure that the parking as well as the impoundment paid for itself without eating on the fiscals. So that we have taken care of it. Babu Mapena, with all the humility, on the slide 37, we're just reflecting, and we take a point, we are reflecting on our own staff members that have passed on. That's why the heading says Asipelela. That was on page 37 of those that have gone, passed on. But on the annual report, as you are correctly putting on, We're talking on the aspect of the road safety. Those are the people that have, of course, perished due to the ineptness of the road users. That's what we did. And if that is on its own, it's, of course, any of insensitivity, we apologize very profusely, but we were putting the facts into the discord. The reason why on the issue of those that perished through the accidents is because those are the accidents that we were compelled by law to investigate into that issues, and those reports are out in the public. So the next question is to the honorable member Makosini Shabangu. What are we doing in terms of the rampant corruption? We're dealing with corruption decisively. However, the unit that we have, we only have 27 members that are dealing with the anti-corruption for the entire country. And if we look in terms of the areas that they are appearing, some of the results are not easily immediately seen because they have to go through the courts, through the DPCI and the NPA. And we arrest and hand over to DPCI as well as the NPA. For instance, what the member of Shabangu is referring to, we're sitting, for instance, in the cases where we have arrested 27 out in Harrismith. It's now almost 18 months. The case has not been finalized. In Bloemfontein, we've arrested more than 21 of the staff members. In Bethlehem, we arrested 11 of them and may the committee allow me not to disclose into the area where the member is referring to, because some of the people who have the warrants of arrest for them in that area and were seen to pounce, NPA has to finally approve, but we are going to arrest in Gwakwa, let me put it in that way. But as to when and which category, we will reserve not to disclose at this point in time. Secondly, how do we then advertise even to ensure that everybody, even in the rural area, is aware of the advert? When we do the recruitment, we normally use a newspaper which is called the City Press, but over and above that, we then have on our website, we publicize. We also, our spokesperson then addresses the community radio stations as well as the popular stations like the Lisedi and so that people are aware of the adverts that are going out. We're doing that simply because there has been a common trend of fictitious adverts that are going in the name of the corporation. So we have taken that to ensure that the authenticity of the adverts can be vouched for by the RTMC. In terms of the 13 targets that we have put ourselves, and which targets did we not achieve? 6 of them are within the training college. Those are the modules that we could not reach because we had to close the college when the lockdown was at level 5 and level 4, as well as in level 3. Hence, the slides begin to give the various categories. But over and above, we need to indicate that one of the issues was the Department of Labor, who had to ensure that we are compliant in terms of the students that are at the college. And that will also take care of the first question that was raised. The issue of the supply chain, I think Chairperson has covered us in terms when in 2017, it raised the weaknesses in the supply chain in the irregular expenditure. Let's explain the 2017. In 2017, we hired a place out in Vereeniging called Macau Flay. The interpretation between the AG and ourselves differed on the joint venture and the putting of the and the placement of the points. It is on those bases that the chairperson was saying it is therefore important that at some point we must litigate to ensure that there is common interpretation, because in that area it is the black people who then had hired the place and went into the joint venture. The interpretation by the AG was the fact that it is not a joint venture. It should have been a contract, and the irregular expenditure was of 27 million of that venue that was at 8 million. Yes, 8 million of that venture of the Macau Flame. Similarly, even now, which the irregular expenditure in 2021, which the Treasury has now given us the condonation. It therefore dealt with two issues. One, it was the BEE interpretation. And the BEE commissioner was saying, our interpretation is correct, but the AG was saying the interpretation is not correct. Two senior counsels have said the interpretation by RTMC is correct. And one of them that was sourced by the AG said it wasn't. So it is on those basis that Chairperson was saying it is important from a legal perspective to have certainty. And the only place that can have the interpretation of the law is the courts, so that we then don't deprive the black people in terms of the procurement on the basis of the inordinate interpretation of the law. So there was no major issues within the supply chain. In fact, to the RTMC, as the chairperson correctly said, we even asked the AG before we awarded that, can you please audit this venture prior to us giving it all out, because we understood the magnitude there too. The last questions related to the 2016-2017 audit. The RTMC has a journey. The journey that the chairperson has ably articulated, we have had two issues, unqualified and clean. And it has been our wish that as of from 2015, 2016, we're going to have clean audits until the end. But it was because of this uncertainty in the interpretation. And it is our humble plea to the committee that as we appear before the committee next year, you'll be the judge, because it will be an unqualified, a clean audit. We are destined to comply with the directives of the clean audit within the country, and we are the first to raise our hands. I do believe, Chairperson, that I've covered all the questions, and definitely wish to thank the members, the honorable members, of the provoking and inspiring questions that makes us to find accountability the most fundamental aspect. Thank you, Chair.
Siyabonga, siyabonga, CEO, Siregela Pambi. Thank you very much, Chairperson of the Board, the CEO, and the entire management team of the RTMC. The Chairperson of the committee is battling to reconnect. However, he has requested that we wrap up. I think those comments would have wrapped up the final comments of the RTMC. And may I take this opportunity before we officially adjourn the meeting to call upon the Deputy Minister. If there are any comments, I hope she's still on to close on these matters, then we will wrap up. DM?
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me also thank the Honorable Members, yourself and the Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, for giving us the opportunity, but also for listening to our presentation and really for asking questions that make us to think. even with Honorable Mapena, I don't think that he made serious errors. As a matter of fact, I think he was raising an issue, and honestly, and we take that very seriously. We do take questions and comments made by members very seriously, particularly at a portfolio committee a level, because we believe our understanding is that that is where all members of parliament want to make a contribution to the building of their country, which is South Africa. Yes, we take everything that happens in the House, in the National Assembly, seriously as well. But of course, we always know that at that level, there's an element of politicking, and that's what we are there for as politicians. But at this level, everybody will want to say, this is where we started, and this is my contribution, and this is what we have, this is the improvement that we can see out of our own contribution. So we do take everything that is raised by the portfolio committee honestly. We thank you, Chairperson, again, and thank you for the well wishes yesterday. It was a long day, it's still a long day. We are the shareholder, we always want to be part of this meeting so that we're able to report to the minister on the issues that were raised by the portfolio committee and those issues that we led in between the questions so that we can address them as the shareholder. So we're learning a lot out of what the members of the portfolio committee are saying. Of course, our board members, we thank them as well, and the executives that are here making the presentation. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, DM. Also, it's a very special day to one of the honorable members, Honorable Rama Dua. She is also having a birthday today. Mayor Ramadwa, are you here?
Leone, yes.
Yes. I'm delegating Honorable Hun Singer to wish you happy birthday on behalf of the committee. Honorable Hun Singer, please, on our behalf. I did it yesterday. Is my colleague not here? All right. In his absence, let me, on behalf of the committee, wish you a happy, happy birthday. The honorable committee members are not good singers like I am, so we don't want to damage your ears. But we wish you a happy, happy birthday on behalf of the whole committee. It's such a joy to have somebody like you in the committee, and we wish you well, we wish you strength, many, many more years to come. And when we meet, we'll have a lot of cake, because the DM owes us cake and you owe us cake. But happy happy birthday, happy birthday.
thank you everybody, my colleagues and everybody, thank you so much.
You are welcome. Thank you.
I really appreciate it.
You are more than welcome. Valerie, Madame Carlson, can we release the RTMC board and everybody else except the members? Then we will do housekeeping. Not that there is any secret, but Madam Carlson, is there any specific thing you want us to take care of at this moment?
Not from the committee side, Mr. Mangu.
All right. Thank you very much to yourself, the whole support team, Advocate Nell and everybody else, Dr. Ngesi, Memasati, everybody who has made it possible for us in these difficult load shedding times. Once more to the Deputy Minister, the whole DOT team, and all the entities who came, a big thank you. I appreciate the effort that you have done. And the meeting stands adjourned. Thank you very much.
Long live the chair. Long live.
Long live the chair.